Thank you, guys. We're going to continue right on where we left off, and I don't want to take too long of a time to review. I think you understand where we're at. God's people have been delivered from Egypt, and they're there, they're excited, and then Pharaoh is, you know, I mean, they've been delivered, and Pharaoh is not going to let them go yet, and then they finally are let go, and they leave, and they're heading to Canaan, but we see that right here in chapter 14, the worst thing that could happen, we've been declared free, and yet the enemy is pursuing. Isn't that what he does? Any freedom that we experience, Satan won't have it, and he's going to do everything he can to discourage us. And I just want to say this in your lives, whenever you feel like you get to a mountaintop or God does some good things, don't necessarily look for the devil around every corner. But I want to encourage you to just be aware and to stand fast. Keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord, because the devil doesn't want to see you encouraged at all. He wants to see discouragement. He wants to defeat you. And so when there's encouragement, yes, praise the Lord for the encouragement, but just beware, be careful, because the devil doesn't want you to be encouraged. The devil wants you to be discouraged. He wants to throw another curveball in there so that brings you back down. And that's the devil's delight, is for you to be discouraged. Did you hear that? The devil's delight is for you to be discouraged, especially a Christian, be discouraged. And so hopefully you're not discouraged this morning. If you are, then you need to look at what Jesus Christ has done for you, and let's get encouraged in the things of the Lord. Because, hey, we're in the center of his hand. Isn't that encouraging? We're in the center of God's hand, no matter where we're at. But the devil wants to lie to you and to think that you're not. But we are. God's people here that are delivered from Egypt, are they in the center of God's hand? Yes, they are. And they can trust him. They can trust him. And here we see in chapter 14 that they're really having to trust him. Now, Moses, last time, which is about a month ago that I preached, Moses responded with a tremendous response. I mean, they turn around and they see the Egyptians and Pharaoh coming. And you would have thought that Moses would have thrown up his arms and said, oh, no. But he doesn't. He said, listen, stand fast. He said, let's see the salvation of the Lord. He said, God's going to deliver us. And so I love Moses' response. Now, God is going to tell him some things, and I want us to look down. We're going to start with Exodus chapter 14, and let's go to verse 15. And so Moses in verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And we get to verse 15, and the Lord, and let's go ahead and read to verse 31, and then we'll just share a few things this morning. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels. And they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come upon, again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came unto the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and in the waters were a wall unto them in their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. God help as we look at this passage and get a few things this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, do you understand what a conditional is? I talked a little bit about this in the wedding ceremony yesterday. A conditional is an if-then. You understand that? An if-then. If this happens, then this will happen, okay? If, then. You see, the second part of it is conditioned upon the if, right? The then is conditioned upon the if. If this happens, then this will happen. Now, this passage is kind of like a conditional, although you might not see the if and the then. And I want to look at this morning the conditional that's given here. And so, we'll look at the if side of things first, and then we'll look at the then side. All right, the ifs. Let's start in verse 16. Now notice what God requires and asks or commands of Moses. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Later, he tells Moses then to lift up his rod and put it over, and then the sea is going to come back upon the Egyptians, okay? So first of all, we start with a command. God commanded. He commands Moses to do something. Do you know that God's commands are a blessing as they give us direction for what we should do? Question, are you thankful for God's commands? Now think about this. Moses is in sort of a pickle, right? That's a phrase that we use, a pickle. He wasn't literally in a pickle, but he was in a pickle. He was in a situation here where what is Moses going to do? The water is before him and the Egyptians are behind. He is in a situation, right? He's got to know what to do. Sometimes we're very grievous of God's commands. We don't like when, you know, as humans, we don't like when people tell us what to do, do we? I want to be able to make my own decisions. You folks know that it's a tremendous blessing to be under the command of God. You know, when we are under God's command, we don't have to wonder and worry about what we need to do. When God commands us what to do, we know. I wonder why we are so grievous over God's commands. You know what, folks, I'm thankful for God's command because when God says it, I don't have to stew about it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to wonder about it. I know that it's true. Now, God told Moses to do what? Lift up thy hand, thy rod, right? Over the sea, and it's going to part. Now, that's difficult to take. Moses could have said, God, you've got me doing that. Why? You know what? God gave him clear thing. You know, Moses, before God commanded him, he didn't know what to do. I mean, really, if you were Moses, what would you do? Turn around and fight? Would you just plunge yourself into the sea? You know, what would you do? I mean, honestly, Moses wouldn't have known what to do. And God gave him a command. Folks, can I tell you this? We have to be thankful for God's commands. When God is clear on a subject in Scripture, we ought not grieve over it. We ought not complain about it. We ought not throw it away. We ought not try to run away from it. We ought to be dead thankful that God gave us that command. This is clear. There's so much in life that's not clear, right? I mean, we've got to pray about a lot of things. We've got to wrestle over decisions. We've got to wrestle over, God, what do you want? I don't know. And that's difficult, right? You've been through it. Not knowing what God wants, not knowing what you should do. But folks, when God gives a command, we ought to be thankful for it. thankful for his blessing. God gives us blessings in commands. We ought to be thankful. It's not easy with those commands. I mean, sometimes God tells us what to do. It's like, now, I mean, think about Moses. Now, he was given the command to raise his rod over the sea. I mean, and what would have been the temptation? Come on. Right? I mean, you think about it. We know the end of the story. We know that God, and so for us, we say, oh yeah, that was easy. But you think, you put yourself way back with Moses, and God tells you, you know, you're saying, God, what am I going to do? How, you know, they're coming, and the sea is before us. And he simply says, put your rod above the water. I mean, that doesn't make sense. All right, we're looking at conditionals. It's not if God has spoken. It's since God has spoken. Okay? Has God spoken? Yes, he has. And that's part of our if that's already answered. Has God spoken to us? Has he given us his truth? He has. Folks, we need to cherish it. We need to thank the Lord that God has given us his truth. And God has spoken. He's given to us his word. He's given to us clear commands. Now, sometimes, again, it's difficult in how to respond to God's commands. Moses could have said what? He could have said how? But he went ahead. You know, we're talking about conditionals. God had spoken. God had commanded. And we know the answer. He had done that. The question is, are we going to hear that? And I want to encourage you, as God has spoken, we need to be thankful for it, but we also need to be listening for God's commands. Do you know what God has told us to do? Sometimes we wrestle through the unknown things of life, and we're not even doing the things that we know to do. God tells us to pray without ceasing, and yet we're praying that God would give us direction for certain things. Folks, God's given you the answer, and he says to pray, and he's going to give you more answer. Why do we spend more time on the unknown than the known? Folks, why don't we get to, you know, you do know a lot of God's will. Some of us, you know, I could even be walking around the platform here this morning saying, boy, right now we feel like we're in the dark when we don't know what to do. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. We know a lot of what to do. Right? Get doing what you're supposed to do and stop worrying about what we don't know. God in his wisdom is going to give the light, but it's time that I start finding out what I ought to do. I was talking with an evangelist this week, and I was asking him, I said, what can I pray for in your life? By the way, that's one of the prayer requests that me and my family have right now. When we asked God, when we got out to Moab, Utah, the very first night that we sat there together, I said, all right, family, this is what we're going to do. I said, we are not going to waste our time here. We are going to ask God to teach us lessons. And I said, I want every one of you to go back to your room tonight, and I want you to begin to pray and ask God, what does God want to teach you individually? And then we are going to pray as together as a family. What does God want to teach us together as a family? And it wasn't long, and we were convinced of what God wanted to teach us. Have you ever noticed that when you fall to trials and difficulties in life, the first person that you're thinking of in life is yourself? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You're easily thinking of yourself and how everybody is there, should be there to help you. It's natural. It's normal for you to think that way. And you could imagine that was normal for us to think of. Okay, you're thinking about, okay, we're the people that's in trouble, and you're the people that's got to help. That's normal and natural. And this is what God showed us that first day, or that first and second day. We thought, no, this is not what God's called us to do. How can we minister to other people? How can we look out and try to be a blessing to others and not be focused on ourselves? And I could tell you more stories, but sake of time, I'm not. But I praise the Lord that I believe that God used us to be a blessing to some people. And we're not patting ourselves on the back. I'm saying, thank you, Lord, because that's what we wanted. We wanted to be a blessing. But, you know, that's what we need to be thinking about. We need to be thinking about others. But it's easy for us to focus on ourselves. It's easy for us to think that way. But understand that when we go through things of life, you know, God is wanting us to take what we know and do it. We could have spent all of our time out there saying, boy, we don't know what to do. Poor us. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Rather, God says, listen, there's a lot that I want to teach you what to do. Let's get on to what you do know. God will take care of the rest. He says, I will take care of the rest. I'll lead, I'll guide. You do what I've told you. And I just want to encourage you. You know, pray for us that we would be focused on others. But you know what, folks? All of us, when we are in life, we need to look at what God has told us, what he has given us to do. Pursue that. He will take care of the rest. Didn't he tell us in Matthew, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And what's the result? And all these things shall be added unto you. He said, listen, take no thought for the morrow shall take for itself. If I can clothe a sparrow and I can feed a sparrow, if I can clothe a lily and I can do that, I can take care of you. You do what's right. Folks, God had spoken clearly. Okay, so part of the conditional, we know that he did. God had spoken. How did Moses respond? We see that Moses obeyed. Moses obeyed. He's heard it, but now he's got to believe God enough to do it. Even though it's a difficult and hard decision to follow, he's going to do. And what is Moses going to do? Does he obey? What's the answer? He does. God said to hold your rod above the water, and he does. Look at verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused. There we go. He obeyed. He did it. You know, it's part of the conditional. Had God spoken? Yes, he did. Okay, so we know it. Did he? Well, he know he did. Did Moses obey? Yes, he did. You know, it's one thing for us to hear what God tells us. It's another thing for us to do it. Now, we need to hear it first. We need to hear it first. And by the way, if you're not in God's word, you're not going to hear it. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to teach you and lead you. You've got to be in God's word. You know, it's not just walking in life, wondering and God just leading through. No, he leads through his word, right? That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to lighten our path, to lighten our path up. God gives us his word. And so you get into God's word, you read it, you listen to it, you hear preaching, you hear teaching, you go to Discovery Bible Study and find out what God's word says. You find out God's leading and guiding, and then you obey it. Obey it. And so that was next. And we see that Moses obeyed. And so he did it. And that's amazing. And so it's one thing for us to hear. It's another thing for us to do it. So God spoke to his leader. You know, we have a chain of command here. We've got God, Jehovah. We've got Moses and Aaron, the leaders. God is typically speaking through Moses here. And then you've got the people, right? Is God leading the people? Now this is key. Is God leading the people? Now, I just went through the chain of command. God is leading Moses. Moses is leading the people. Question, is God leading the people? It's kind of a trick question. Is God leading the people? Yes, he is. Don't trick yourself into thinking that God is just leading Moses and then it's Moses leading the people. You see, what's the fault there? The fault there is you miss the middle and you make a breach in between the two, and therefore you say, listen, I'm just simply we're just following human leadership here. That's not the truth, folks. And I'm so pleased to let you know that it is not only, you know, Moses was the leader and God gave him commands and he followed. Now, question, before we get into what I'm trying to get into, was it important to God's people that Moses, their God-ordained leader, followed God? Yes. It was very important for the people that Moses did obey God. If Moses wouldn't have raised his hand over the sea, would it have been a different outcome? Yeah, because he would have disobeyed God. Did Moses disobey God later? He did. Was it a hard consequence? Yes. Later, when the people got into Canaan, did they disobey God? Yes. Were there consequences? Yes, there still are. They're still hurting us today. Is it important that God's leaders follow God's leading? What's the answer? Yes. By the way, I'm not just preaching to myself, although I am. Listen, it's any leadership that you have. Young people, your parents, your grandparents. Is it important that you follow your leadership? What's the answer? Yes. God has given the leadership and authority. Go to Romans and he'll tell you that. God gives us our authority. And the safest and best place we can be is to be underneath that authority and following that. You know, yesterday we had a wedding, you know, and married Zach and Lydia. And I told whoever I was talking to, one of their parents or somebody else, I said, you know, I did not get into the ministry to marry people. It's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility. A responsibility that almost would discourage me from it. It's like, man, I don't know. I'm the one that's going to, you know, officially tie that knot. That's a struggle for me to do that, willing to do it. But it's a big responsibility. But I said this, but I can assure you one thing. Anybody ever asks me to marry them and their parents aren't for it, there's not a chance in this world I'll do it. Why? Because I believe in parental, God-given authority that is there. God's got to be, the authority is so important. So was it important that Moses obeyed? Can I say this in application, folks? It's very important for you to obey in your life, but I'll tell you, it's not just about you. It's important for others around you that you obey. Dads, let me tell you something. You disobey God, and your family is going to hurt. Your wife is going to hurt because of it. Fathers, you disobey God, and your children are going to hurt because of it. Mothers, whoever you are, you disobey God, and others around you are going to be hurt because of it. It hurts. Sin works that way. Isn't it a blessing that Moses obeyed God in a difficult command? Okay, did God command? What's the answer? Yes. Okay, we're looking at a conditional. Did Moses obey? Yes, he did. That's great. We're seeing what God is doing. So God has spoken. Moses obeyed. And it was tremendous for him, and it was tremendous for the people. Praise the Lord. Israel could be saying, praise the Lord, our leader obeyed God. But let's get to another element here. What about the people? Look down. What did the people do? Now, this is another element. This is a third tier. We have God commanding Moses, Moses obeying. What did the people do? Did they always obey? No. But the question is, did the people follow Moses? Now, just think for a moment. God's leading. Moses, the leader. Have they already had problems with Moses? Not because of what Moses has done, but had they complained against Moses already? They had. And now, Moses has a private meeting with God, and God says, Moses, I want you to do this. Moses turns around to the people and says, all right, people. And the people are like, where do we go? Where do we go? And Moses turns around and goes like this, right over the sea. Now, question, what would your response be? You want me to go out there? You want me to dive? I didn't bring my life jacket, Moses. I'm being facetious with that, but think about what your response would be. You want us to walk through that water? It's not always easy to obey our God-given authority. It's not. It is not easy. It's tough, especially because it's going through a person. Catch it. God's using a person, and that person is your authority. Now, God put him there, but it's difficult when that person, because, you know, they just don't look like God up there. They don't look like God behind that desk. They don't appear. In fact, we know because we see their faults, right? This is the hard part. We see people's faults, but friend, don't let that ruin your following the leadership. When you're following the leadership, forget the person, you're following God. Don't let that go. You've got to understand that that's God's way of leading. You say, but they're faulty. They make mistakes. Right, who doesn't? We've got to trust. We're not talking about trusting the person. We're trusting God. My friends, I want to tell you something. We're talking about conditionals here. And did the people, let's jump ahead. Did the people follow their God-given authority here? They did. Is that a good thing? It's a good thing. What would have happened if they wouldn't have followed? They would have probably either died or they would have been taken back to Egypt. Was it because Moses was such a good, godly, spiritual man? What's the answer? No. My friend, it had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do that this is the guy that God chose. And it's very important that we follow our leaders. We follow the people. By the way, every one of us has leaders, multiple leaders in our lives. We have bosses, we have husbands, we have, I was going to say wives, you got to be careful with that one, but you know what, even there, we have people in our lives that influence us. We have people that are heads over certain things. We have teachers. There's leadership everywhere. If a person doesn't like it, they're going to have a hard time getting away from it, right? You can never get away from it. And that's why some people always want to be leaders, because they don't like being under anyone. I want to just tell you something. Get used to it, because it's never going to leave you. It's time that we willing to be under somebody else and submit under them and to follow as you're following God. You're following God. A lot of people are confused. A lot of people are confused with the authority, even in a church, and saying, you know, a Baptist church, you know, just pastoral authority, you got to follow them. Listen, my friends, that's the farthest thing from a Baptist church. The fact of the matter is it's an under-shepherd following God, and you're not following a man, you're following God. And it's important that we understand that as God leads and guides, and he speaks to us, as he speaks to his leadership, and we do that, you're not submitting, I mean, you are submitting to a man, but you're submitting to God's authority. And I praise the Lord that these people followed God. And the children, look at verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. Amen. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Man, they followed. So here's the question. And we already answered it. Is it following a man or is it following God? It is tough, but it's following God for sure. And we need to understand that. Understand it in the home. God has given authority there in the home. God has given the authority in the church. God has given the authority in the workplace. God has given authority in social situations. God has given the authority we've got to follow. It is God's order. It's his chain of command. All right. If, here we're telling the conditional. Has God spoken? He did, right? Did Moses obey? He did. Did the people follow? They did, all right? So we could ask if, but God gives us the answers here in this passage, right? But again, it's kind of like a conditional. Would God give his direction? That was a question that Moses could have had. Would God give? And the answer, he did. You know, would Moses follow and obey? He did. Would the people follow and obey? They did. And what's the result to this conditional? If they would, if God would lead, if the leader would follow, if the people would obey, then what would happen? And I want you to see, first of all, the protection before and behind. Notice that the Spirit of God, the angel of God, went from before as he was leading. And what did he do? Because the most immediate danger right then was behind. And what did he do? He removed himself from the front and he went to the back. Why? Because there it was. I need to protect. God did immediately exactly what he needed to do. So he gave protection. We see that in verses 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And then verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And then jump down to verse 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked into the hosts of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the hosts of the Egyptians. Folks, really, these people, and we've already gone through this, so I just reiterate, they were sandwiched in between God's protection, provision, and leading and guiding. They were in a perfect spot. Even though it was a difficult spot, they were in a perfect spot. And so we see God's protection there, but we also see God's protection and provision of dry ground. Do you know that God provided dry ground for them? We see that in verse 22, and the children of Israel went to the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. Folks, I want to tell you that's a miracle. And the waters were a wall unto them in their right hand and on the left. So he protected them with dry ground, and he also protected them against the Egyptians. Verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And then down to verse 25 to 30, and took off their chariot wheels. We don't have time to read all through that, but you remember, he took off their chariot wheels. They go down in there, they wreck and they crash the walls. You know, Moses puts his hand up again and the rod, and all the walls came crashing down upon them, and we see Pharaoh and all of his army drown in the sea. And so what an amazing thing. So we see the protection of God. Okay, so they were in a conditional. If God would lead, or if God would give his command, if Moses, the leader, would follow, if the people would obey and they would follow, then what? Well, we see the first thing. God would do what? Protect and provide. He did, and he protected. Next, we see the Lord provided his wonderful testimony. There were three things. God said, I'm going to protect you and provide. Next, he said, I'm going to make my name great among the heathen. He said that the Egyptians would know. Can you look down in the verses and see that the Egyptians confessed the Lord Jehovah? He did. You look back down at the passage here, and he said, look at verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels, and that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, remember, way back, what had God said? This is what I'm going to do. Why? That they would know that I am God. Hey, if I give commands, and I will, if you obey, if your leader obeys and you follow, he said, I'm going to do something. He said, I'm going to protect you from the Egyptians. I'm going to give you dry ground. I'm going to protect against them. But he said, I'm also going to make my name great. And in verse 25, we see, and they say, let us flee from the face of Israel for what? The Lord. That's Jehovah. The Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Folks, I want to tell you something. The conditional says if God will lead, and he has. If God's leader will obey, and here he did. If God's people will follow, and here they did. He said, if they will do that, I'm going to provide and protect. And he said, I will make my name great among the heathen. I am going to do some work around you. Folks, do you know that the people around you are waiting and looking? They might not know it, waiting to see what God does in your life. You know, your doctors that you're going to, you know what? One of the most tremendous people you can do, when they see God work, they need to see that God is doing some things. You know, don't just credit it to whatever they've done, even though, praise the Lord, God might have used it, but they need to see God working. And we need to be expecting, you know, one of the things, I cannot wait to go to Dr. Brown in Virginia. I cannot wait when Melissa's feeling all the way better and tell him some of the story about what God has done. By the way, it was tremendous. God gave us opportunities out in Moab. God gave me, you know, nobody really goes out to the place that we stayed and stays for 3.5 weeks. The people there was all kinds of different girls at the front counter that would, you know, and you have to go to them for everything. They would give you laundry detergent. They would give you this, and they would give you this, and they would give you this. You know, I got tired. You know, the girls would tell me, Dad, we're out of toilet paper. I'm like, you go, you know, but... I had to be the one. I would go get this and go get this. You know, I mean, it's not normal. Most of those people come in for about 2 or 3 days and they're gone. We were there for 3.5 weeks. And after a little while, people were like, why are you guys here so long? You know, it was an extremely expensive place that God provided for us. It was an expensive place. People come in and out. And, you know, it was like, why are you here? Do you know that God gave me so many opportunities with those front desks? And I said, well, you know, why are you here? Or one day I was out printing out floor plans, you know, for houses, you know, trying to look at, I was doing that, and they were like, what were you over there printing? You know, and I said, floor plans, because, and they said, well, why? And I got to tell my story so many times. Do you know that when I told my story, they just sat there and listened? This one lady, have no thoughts that any of those girls know Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. The one says, I can't wait to hear the rest of this story. And you know what I said? I can't wait to tell you. Because it's going to be good. And you know what? I would say that there's probably about 4 attendants at that place that when we write back, they'll remember us for sure. Because we were there every day. I mean, packages like crazy. Some of you. Cards. I mean, I'll tell you what. Mr. Madrid, we've got another package for you. Mr. Madrid, we got another envelope for you. Mr. Madrid, we got more mail for you. I mean, you guys just pounded us, and it was amazing. It was good. It was a blessing. You know, they got to, you know, they were just like, this is weird. Why are you guys here, and why do you get so many packages from home and all this stuff? But I got to share with them the goodness of God. My friends, I want to tell you, see, God does things so that people will recognize who he is. And I cannot wait. That one lady specifically was like, I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. And now I'm going to be purposed to let her know the rest of the story. because I want God's name to be published throughout. And my friend, I want to tell you, in your situation, God wants to use your situation so that the world knows who Jehovah is. That's one of the things that God does. And he did here. Your doctors, your lawyers, your neighbors, your teachers, so on, your coaches, whoever it is. And lastly, the Lord provided strength and faith for his people. It wasn't just the world. It was for them. Folks, do you know that I cannot wait to see God work for my sake, for Melissa's sake, for my kids' sake, for your sake? But it's not just my situation. It's all of our situations. That not only will our neighbors know, but that we would be encouraged with God. That we would be able to look, Roger, at our hands and say, God did some fearfully and wonderfully things in my life. Why does God do this? He does it for the world, but he does it for us. Do you know that God does some difficult things so that we are strengthened in our faith? So that we have to step back and say, well, God, I've said all my life you're good. Wow, you demonstrated yourself. It's good. Isn't that the testimony? Look at verse 31. And Israel saw, and it wasn't the first time, and it would not be the last time. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Folks, isn't it a blessing to see God work in our lives? Isn't it fun to see God do miracles? Isn't it fun to see him show up? It is. And it's neat to watch God unfold his amazing mercy, his amazing grace, right before our eyes. If God had spoken, and he did. If Moses had obeyed, and he did. If the people would follow, and they did, then what would happen? The Lord would provide his protection. The Lord would provide his wonderful testimony to the world. And the Lord would provide strength and faith for his people. You see, it's a conditional, but the question is what about you? Here, the answer was yes. But what about you? God will command. Will we take it? Will we listen? Will we obey it? Will we follow? God will provide. God will protect. God will make his name known among the heathen, and God will show himself strong to us. I close with another conditional. I'm so grateful. God says, whosoever will may come. You know, that's kind of like a statement, but you know, there's a conditional there. It's whosoever will. My friend, if you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the one that did the work for you on the cross, we can never know his wonderful for salvation, but you know, there's a conditional if you will, though. If you will trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he will save you. And that's tremendous. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you give yourself to the Lord because he wants to save you? Christian, he wants to save you. Trust him. Would you trust him? Father, thank you for this tremendous truth that you've given to us. Lord, this conditional that's kind of laid out here. All the ifs were answered. They did. And of course, you did your work as well. God, thank you for that. And we're looking forward to seeing you show up in mighty ways in our lives in the coming days. Lord, I pray that you would help us to cherish your word, get into your word, trust your word. I pray that we would obey. I pray that we would follow our leadership. I pray that we would do as you ask us to do. God, give us wisdom in the coming days. Don't leave us. We know you won't. God, thank you for your truth. Thank you for the past and the things, the truths that we can learn for the present and in the future. In Jesus' name, amen.